scripture comes from Matthew chapter 21. We've been in a series related to Matthew called Sins and Forgivenesses. And today we think about what somebody says on the outside and what they do on the inside, what they do with their actions. We also are thinking about issues of authority and issues related to expectations. If you would please stand, and we'll hear the word from Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he'll say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things." Jesus is a little cheeky, I think. "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first son and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' The son answered, 'I will not.' But later, he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said to the same. And the second son answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which one of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe John." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please remember. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and set aside the busyness and the details of our daily lives to take some deep breaths and consider what it means to be your people. God, we ask that you change us and that you teach us. We ask that you breathe in us and light us up, for we are all hungry and thirsty for your holy word. So help us to hear the call. Amen. There are three levels of expectation at play in this particular scripture. There are expectations that we have about our lives. There are expectations that we have related to our children. Can I get an amen? There are expectations we have related to our moms and dads and our extended families. And often, these expectations are shattered. And perhaps if they're not shattered, they're changed in some way or another. And we learn a lot about ourselves when these expectations are changed or shattered, or when perhaps we're disappointed when someone does not live up to our expectations. There are three levels of expectations in this scripture that we're going to be talking about. The first is related to authority. The chief priests and the scribes have a certain amount of authority. They expect certain things from their temple life. It would be like the bishop showing up here today. Watch out. And the bishop having certain expectations of us. He's a nice guy, but he still wears that little crook on his lapel, and he still has bishop in front of his name. So these things, the chief priests and the scribes, are interested in authority. And you notice that's the question they ask about. Jesus and John do not meet their expectations on two levels. The first is politically. Now, politically, you ask, why are the chief priests and scribes worried about politics? Well, you need to know that in the ancient Near East, the chief priests and the scribes were in a lovey-dovey kind of relationship with Rome. And Rome occupied the ancient Near East. The way that Rome continued to share its influence across the Mediterranean was that they came into the systems that already existed and began to weave their tax system in with what was already present. So, when a Jewish person came to the temple in Jerusalem, part of that offering that was given in the temple was cut and given to the Roman occupier. Did y'all know that? So when John came into the wilderness preaching and it wasn't in a temple, well, the chief priests and scribes were worried about what that would do to their political arrangements with Rome and with the Roman occupier. John made them nervous. Now, from a religious perspective, also, John and Jesus made the chief priests and scribes nervous. Because Jesus came from Upper Galilee, Northern Galilee. He was from the hill country, a country bumpkin. All you country bumpkins, can I get an amen? He was like us from the mountains of Israel, Palestine. And he was about a movement that was teaching and healing that was not centered in the temple of Jerusalem. The chief priests and the scribes were concerned that their religion be centered in the holy temple of the city, the holy city, Jerusalem. So they ask him, by what authority did John do these things? Was it by heavenly authority or was his authority by human origin? Now, this is where Jesus traps them. And did you notice, by the way, every time the scribes and the chief priests ask Jesus a question, he doesn't answer the question. Jesus would be a confounding person to be in conversation with, I believe. So the first level of expectation is authority. John and Jesus come and they shake and rattle the bars of the system, the religious system as well as the political system. That's an expectation that the scribes and the chief priests have that is not met by John and Jesus. You see, things are seldom as they seem. Here's the second level of expectation that's at play, and it's related to the repartee between Jesus and the chief priests and the scribes. They come asking him a question, and instead of answering their question, he asks them a question. See, Jesus was trained not in Jerusalem with all the holy hotshot rabbis in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus was trained in Nazareth, a backwater town like Sunshine, which is in Rutherford County, if you've ever heard of Sunshine. It is like Hominy Valley, like where we live. Jesus was not a person who they expected to be able to share all of the training and details of Jewish teaching. So when Jesus comes to them and asks them a question right back, he's employing ancient Jewish debate tactics, ancient forms of Jewish argument, believe it or not. Jesus is smarter than they expect. And when the chief priests and the scribes have to say to him, we do not know whether John's power was human or heavenly, boy, they are trapped. And Jesus has them right under his thumb. Jesus on the outside seemed like a country bumpkin from northern Galilee. But things, my brothers and sisters, people, are seldom as they seem. Now here's the third level of expectations. And it's related to the parable that Jesus tells to get at further the argument with the chief priests and the scribes. Do you have expectations about your children and your grandchildren and your children's future? I will tell you that when I was pregnant with Olivia, where is she? When I was pregnant with Olivia, Joe had this idea for a daddy tool belt. And he thought that he could have a big belt made of Velcro, and that he would Velcro things to this belt, and he called it his daddy tool belt. Now, this was when I was pregnant with Olivia, so we hadn't had real hands-on experience with the baby, and he thought that he could just stick a diaper to this part of his belt, and then on this side it'd be a pacifier, and then back here he'd have a bottle just in case, and then he had handy wipes back here, and then in the front there would be like all kinds of little toys that he could Velcro to his belt. He expected, yes, I see you shaking your heads, that's not possible, that's not possible, but it would be a good idea to have a daddy tool belt, he thought, because he expected that he'd be able to meet all of her needs right then and there. Well, she came late, and he had appendicitis, and that's a whole nother story. But she did not live up to the expectation that we had of her, and we realized we couldn't just meet her needs by grabbing something off of a belt. That's one way our expectations change in terms of parents. I expected when I was pregnant with Ivan and found out that we were going to have a boy, I expected that boys and girls would be exactly alike. I was wrong. Girls and boys are very different. Can I get an amen? Just because we used to say to Olivia when she was a toddler, no, and her eyes would fill with tears and she'd stop doing what she was doing right away, that does not mean that Ivan would do the same thing. See, our expectations change. And here is where Jesus invites people into the story. It's a story about a dad. And this dad has two boys. And this dad has expectations for his kids. He wants his boys to go out into the vineyard and work. So he asked the first one, son, I need you to go out and put a few hours in the vineyard today because we're short-handed and you need to work. And he says, okay, Dad. And he had no intention of going out there. He was just giving his dad kind of, he was just mouthing, okay, Dad, I'll tell you what you want. And he said, and he chose not to. So he told his dad yes, and his actions said no. Things are seldom as they seem. The expectation of yes actually was the action no. Then here's the set. I may have these backwards, by the way. Sorry about that. The second son, the dad goes to the second son and says, son, I need you to put a few hours in, extra hours in the vineyard, because we're short-handed today, and I'd like you to go out and do some work. And the son said, no. No. He was honest with his dad. He didn't want to. Maybe he wanted to be straight up with his dad and say exactly how he felt. Maybe they had that kind of relationship. Maybe the first son wanted to give his dad what he wanted to hear because he was intimidated by the relationship he had with his father. Maybe the second son was just going to be straight up honest. You know what, Dad? I don't have time and I don't want to. But then what did the second son do? The second son went out into the vineyard and worked just as his dad asked him to. Things are seldom as they seem. Can I get an amen? What Jesus does is he twists our expectations in this scripture. He twists the expectations of the officials at the Jerusalem temple. He twists their expectations about him and John and their authority. He twists expectations when he talks about familial relationships. When your child is saying, yes, I will, remember that your child may go off and do something completely opposite. When your child is saying, no, I won't, remember your child may go off and do something completely opposite. Things are seldom as they seem, Jesus reminds us. The ones whom you expect to believe, The chief priests, the scribes, the people, you know, who wear the suits, the people who seem like they have all the authority and knowledge, all those people, they seem to think they know everything. You expect those kind of people, fine, upstanding people, to take a leap of faith and to do the right thing. But often, these are the people who do not open themselves to Jesus' forgiveness and a change of heart. Instead, Jesus reminds us, it's the ones on the fringes of society who are more open to the good news. Jesus names two groups that were distasteful and terrible to Jews. He said tax collectors and prostitutes are more open to the word than you are. This twists our expectations, my brothers and sisters. And Jesus is challenging us today to consider that things are seldom as they seem, especially when it comes to the power of transformation through the Word of God and Jesus, our Messiah. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask that you open our hearts and minds to your vision and your understanding of people in the world. We all have judgments. We all make judgments, and we all put people in certain kinds of compartments. Oh, they believe, they don't believe, they're sinners, they're not sinners. They're good, they're bad. These people are right, and those people are wrong. We often categorize people according to just a small detail that we know about them. Remind us that Jesus comes breaking expectations, breaking the settled ways of authority, and Jesus comes breaking our understandings of who is in and who is out. So we ask, O God, because we are a stubborn and stiff-necked people, we ask that you open us to the kind of grace and forgiveness that we all need in Jesus. And then when we feel like we've received grace and forgiveness, Holy God, help us not to hoard that gift, but help us to share that gift with even the prostitutes and the tax collectors. For it's in your name that we pray, and we long to follow you.